This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I try to discover a little something to make me sweeter. Oh, baby, refrain from breaking my heart. I'm so in love with you. I'll be forever blue. That you give me no reason why you make a me work so hard. That you give me no, that you give me no, that you give me no, that you give me no. Soul, I hear you calling. Oh, baby, please give a little respect to me. That is A Little Respect by Eurasia. Gorgeous song. You're wondering, what year is it that we're listening to this song? Why, the year is 1991, y'all. I think this might be the first time we've been in 1991 on Senior Superlatives, and I could not be more excited for us. So to get us kind of hot and horny for what was going on in 1991, I'm going to list, you know, my top five movies from that time. Number one, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. May we all be as blessed and jacked as Linda Hamilton in that movie. Literally, body goals, arm goals, would die. And no one looks better in a tank top. I'm just going to put it out there. No one can, no one will. Then we have Beauty and the Beast, okay? The animated. I'm talking animated for all you Gen Zers. It wasn't always a movie with Emma Watson or whomever was in the live action. Obviously, Silence of the Lambs with my king, Anthony Hopkins, who is the background of my phone. I'm being serious for everyone at home who doesn't believe me. He is telling me to believe on the background of my phone. Then,
wow.
How can we forget about Cape Fear? How can we? We did, because I just remembered it when I looked at this list. And then the last movie I'm going to bring up to get us in the mood for 1991 is my personal favorite, something that has been resurrected recently, The Addams Family, with Angelica Houston, of course, and my queen, Christina Ricci, and, you know, Christopher Lloyd, who we love, who we gotta get on the show. And you're also wondering, where were we in 1991 when we were watching Christopher Lloyd be Uncle Fester? We were in Tampa, Florida, and we are Malik Pancholi. Oh my God. Oh my God. And wait, Malik, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for having me and for taking me on that little journey to get me horny, as you said, for 1991.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Just to, you know, get us started, can you paint the picture for me for what was going on with you in high school? Like, what was your high school like? What were you like? What were the vibes? Tampa, I'm immediately
Tampa.
Hooked. We also haven't ever had anyone on the show from Tampa. No, this is a first, and I love Tampa.
Yeah.
One of my best friends from Tampa.
I'm all about first. I love that you're selling Tampa so hard, and I think it's, I have a feeling it's changed. I've been there recently, and I think it's changed a lot since when I was a kid, because 1991 was a long time ago. But Tampa was not... It wasn't that exciting when
I want to clarify, I've never been to Tampa, but I spiritually love Tampa. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't been there, but I'm a Tampa girl. You know what I mean? I just feel that I'm a Tampa girl.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. The way I always talk about Tampa is like right after high school, I went to college in Chicago, and I remember taking the L train in Chicago for the first time, and like seeing somebody, literally seeing someone with like dyed hair and like earrings, you know, like mm-hmm. a little punky or whatever, and I was like, oh my God. Like I remember being scared because yes. I felt like Tampa had been such a sheltered, cultured world in a way in the late 80s and early 90s for me anyway. I went to prep school as well, which I don't think necessarily helped with that. It was, I did love it. I did love my school, and I'm in touch with a lot of people. I had a very small class. It was like a class of 75.
Oh my God.
When we graduated. Yeah. Yeah. So, and it was a middle school. I went, it actually goes from K through 12, but I went there from middle school and high school. So like a lot of these, by the time we graduated, we had been together for a yeah. long time, you know? And I love all of them, but my recollection of Tampa is sort of like that there wasn't a ton of culture, you know, like if mm-hmm. when we finally got to start driving in high school, it was Friday night, TGI Fridays again, you know, like should we go bowling? We go to yeah. Mission Bell, I think was the name of the mall, to like watch movies.
It sounds like a movie. It sounds like a movie. It sounds very quintessential.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing is I do like I look back and I'm like all these like shows like. I think they're a little younger in Stranger Things. Maybe they're a little older in the last season. But it's like, even though that's not Tampa, there's something there was like a small town vibe to it. Even though Tampa is a bigger city and it's now like a much bigger city, which is sort of like, you know, like everyone kind of dressed like it was the '80s.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's like meet at the mall. Like let's go in the food court and like sit and hang out and like see what happens. Because it also was pre internet as we know it. Like, you know, the internet existed loosely, but like you didn't have a cell phone.
No. I mean, we didn't have the internet.
When was the internet born?
Is this for me or are you asking like a research assistant?
I'm just asking general and my research assistant here in the hub.
I actually 1983
the internet was born. Yeah, yeah. But we weren't like searching things. There wasn't fucking Google, you know what I mean?
I don't think I had an email address until I got to college. Like I mean the internet might have been born in 1983, but I don't think it was like accessible to your average human being for
No, it was NASA only, later, honey. Yeah. NASA were the only people that NASA had it. Only. Yeah. And then we didn't get it until like 2005, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, or, I mean, this is like...
1998 is when what started? Google. Okay, yeah, see?
Yeah, yeah.
None of that.
I mean, I think when I remember in college, I know we're not talking about college, but I'm going to just fast forward for a brief minute.
We can talk about anything you want.
I remember I got like an email address and I was like, how do you use this? And you could go to like the computer center and it was like some crazy, you know, you couldn't pick a screen name. It was some like crazy, crazy name, like at Eudora or something like that. It was like, like it wasn't like, oh, everyone's had Gmail. I feel like in high school even like I remember the day after exams, it'd be like, let's go to the mall. And we'd go to like literally go to the food court, probably get like an Auntie Anne's pretzel or something like that. Like that, and walk around, and it, you know, like you'd see like groups. Of course, there were like cliques, like the cool kids and not cool kids. And I went to a small school, so it was like, you know, like a lot of kids we didn't know. But the mall would just be full of high school kids, kind of hanging out. The more we talk about this, the older I feel. I just want to throw that out there.
And that's good. And you know what? We always bring people on the show to humble them and make them feel old as hell. That's the goal. Okay, so I have two. Well, number one, I just want to say an Auntie Anne's cinnamon sugar pretzel with a small lemonade, really like... That's divine. Okay.
It was like drugs for high school. It was like you just got like on a sugar high, walked around the mall, yes. listened to Erasure.
Yes. It's so good. And two, were you in a clique? What was your clique?
I was a nerd. I was a total nerd in high school. We had an advanced drama class, which I was in.
Okay.
And we had, but we didn't even, like, the school that I went to is now massive. Like, it's, like, not in terms of number of students, but it's like, it's just, it's gotten like so much funding and it's like huge. And, but when I was there, it was a pretty small campus. We didn't even have a high school. We didn't have an auditorium to do school plays in. So we'd have to go to like another high school. So we did like one play a year. I think by my senior year, we did a play and a musical. Mm. And I just say this to all to say that like my middle school and like I had two drama teachers there. This guy named Mr. Michael Locklear, who was a huge influence on me. And then I had this real mentor, who was this woman named Kathy Grau, who I'm still in touch with a lot. And she wasn't even like really my teacher, but when I was in middle school, I did a community theater play. Yes. And she came to the school later as a teacher and became just like my mentor and then directed the school shows. And so I say that to say, like, even though we didn't have a huge arts program, it's what made me become an actor.
Right.
But I was like a mathlete. I was like, you know, I was like in all the advanced math classes and science classes. I was like, I was a total, total nerd in high school. I was really, I'm a smaller dude anyway, but I was like small for my age. I had like braces and glasses and feathered hair.
I love it.
Yeah, I had wraparound braces too that like literally like covered the entire tooth and then like a million rubber bands. So it's like my mouth would open and it would be like what are those, like those, the fish that's always like the villain in like in underwater movies. It was like I'd open my mouth, you'd just see like,
yeah, like a
bands.
Barracuda, yeah. Like a succubi barracuda opening their mouth. I'm obsessed with that. How did you eat?
It's probably why I was so skinny. It was so painful to eat.
Yes. I mean,
oh my God.
We forget like orthodontia. Like, let's talk about something that feels fully archaic still to this day.
Oh my gosh. I remember the visits to the orthodontist were like the most terrifying. It'd be like, we're going to tighten something and like pliers would come out. And then for 2 weeks, you'd be in like so much pain and all for like, it's fine. I mean, I'm grateful. I'm grateful my parents did allow me this, opposed to the other option. But I don't know, like,
I mean, oh God, I remember my sister had a Palatex expander, which was like a thing that they'd put on your palate, and there was a key that you would have to twist. My parents would have to twist this key every night to like stretch out her teeth. And she used to be like, it was awful. It was like, has scarred me. I remember her being like, no, 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 not tonight, not tonight. I don't want to do it tonight. And I would be like, oh my God, it's terrible.
I mean, it's literally like a medieval torture board. That's what they're doing. They're moving your bones.
It's,
like,
it is. It's crazy. Okay, you were a mathlete. I'm obsessed with you being a mathlete. Did you have coats? Like, did you have like varsity coats for mathletes? Or am I just thinking of Mean Girls?
I think you're thinking of Mean Girls, although it wasn't so different than that. But I think we had t-shirts. Mm. And I remember they were like, God, I wish I could think of one now, but I like they'd always have like some math formula saying that actually spelled a word that was kind of supposed to be funny.
When you would do 80085 and turn your calculator and it would just say boobs.
sort of like that, but probably not that.
Oh no, not that amazing smart person thing.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine the math teacher getting away with like creating t-shirts that, by the way, my math teacher too was like a huge influence on me. And like, I wrote a novel for, I have two novels out in the world.
Okay. Names. Let's get the titles.
My first book that came out in 2019 is called The Best at It. And it's about a 12-year-old Indian American kid who's really good at math, but is like nervous about being a mathlete because he thinks it's too nerdy. And he's just figuring out that he might be gay and he wants to find something to be the best at, to prove himself to everybody else around him, thinking that, you know, of course, if he can be the best at something, everyone will like him just that much more. It's not modeled at all on my own.
I was going to say, clearly not about your own experience at all.
Not at all modeled on that. But I was going to say, my math teacher, there's a very like loving math teacher in that book. And it's a lot based on my middle school and high school math teacher, because it was like the mathletes, as nerdy as it was kind of like, it was like home base, you know. It's like we went to like Mr. Morris's classroom at the end of school, and we do math tests together.
Yes.
And it was also like super competitive, you know, because it was like you were in it to win it, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't. That's the part about it that was like Mean Girls. It was like this was not. It was a hobby maybe, but it was really about bringing home the ribbon at the end of the day.
Would you guys like time yourself to do equations?
Yeah, I think that was part of it, because all the tests were timed. You know, you'd sit in a room. I mean, this is literally the extracurricular piece of math club, of math, being a mathlete, is that you go to another school that's not your own on a Saturday at like 7 a.m. You sit in a room and take a test.
I'm obsessed.
It's so joyful.
No, I love it. Like I've told this story before on this podcast, but I was a terrible student and I would just cheat all the time. And especially with math tests, I was so bad at math. But like the only reason why I used like my TI 83 or whatever was to like use like the notes section to like write notes to my friend on my calculator.
And like the word.
Yeah, like the word boobs.
8008.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I used to cheat in my math class, and I would just like write the answer to the equation, and my math teacher would literally be like, you need to show me your work. Like, you need to show me how you got here. Like, that's half of math, is like showing me your process. And I would always just be like, I don't know, but like I got there. So like, that's it. Like, that's the answer. It's so stupid.
I love that you brought up the TI-83. Like, it's funny, like now I'm such a, like an actor and a writer, and like, math feels like a foreign country to me in a way. You know, it's like I know how to get my stuff to my accountant to do my taxes, and I can pay a bill, and like I can, you know, I know how to tip at a restaurant. Like there's like basic math skills that come into everyday life. But I remember like those calculators that they give to like high school students. It's what are those buttons?
I have no idea.
Like
I have no idea. Like when was the last time you did like a log?
Yeah.
You know
an
what
integer.
I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Like, I did see a tweet that was like me in high school, like, and then it said some crazy like equation, and it's like, waking up today, still have never used that once in my life. It's like, yeah, of course we're not using this unless you're really becoming like a civil engineer or something, or like doing some sort of math heavy work, working for NASA, you know. Then
yeah,
I don't
using
know
the internet before all of us.
Yeah, it's true. Do you miss math?
No, I don't think so. I was thinking about that. I was like, should I miss math? That was the thought that went through my head. No, I am grateful that there are people who know how to do stuff like what you were talking about that can do that, and then actually like love it and are passionate about it. I think as a kid, I think I thought I was passionate about it, but I also think it was just like I did well in school, and then like school, I worked really hard for it for sure. Like I was a perfectionist. I stayed up late studying for tests and all of that, and like wanted to get ahead. But I think like even then my passion was theater. Like I wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
But I was just like, well, I'm good at this and I have to be good at this. And also like, I've got to win, you know?
Right,
like
it was, totally.
And
so,
yeah.
Did you party in high school? Were you drinking? Were you smoking? Were you doing drugs? What were the vibes?
I was not a partier in high school. In fact, I feel like this might be the first time I'm saying this out loud, like in a public forum like this, but I remember once my best friend in high school, who's this amazing woman who I'm still friends with, we were like inseparable in high school, and it was like both of our parents were going to be out of town, and I was like, I'm going to get beer, and like stole beer from like my parents' refrigerator, and we probably only had like one each, maybe a little more than one, and then like fell asleep on her sofa, and we're kind of like, what? And then the next day, the shame of like, I had like this brown bag with like two empty beer cans in it. And I remember driving to the back of a Publix, supermarket to use their dumpster to throw them away so no one would ever find out that we'd like taken these beer cans. Yeah, I was not a big partier. And then there was, growing up in Florida, I think a lot of high school kids go on spring break, but we had beach week, which was like your senior year, everyone would rent a place down at the beach. And we were such nerds that we didn't have a place, but we went down like for the day. And I think that was the first time I got really drunk. And I remember there was a high school kid who was making drinks for me, who put in, later I found out, like 3 shots of 151 proof or whatever. It's called 151.
Yeah, 151. Rum, or whatever it's called. Yeah, Bacardi 151, 151 proof. It's crazy.
Oh my God. I literally, I think I fell asleep there, vomited the whole way home, and had to like sort of show face to my family because I was a good kid in high school. Right. So that was like the first time. That was the first time. And it was like, it took me a while to recover from that. College is kind of like when it was like, okay, drinking became normalized, you know?
Right. That's so funny to like not drink at all and then to drink 3 shots of 151.
In like a glass of Coke.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Ooh, even as I say that to you, I can kind of remember, like it was so long ago, but I can kind of remember the lingering taste of that rum and Coke in my mouth. Ugh.
It's visceral. Yeah. It's like when something's so, I mean, I, not that I ever would, but I can't drink, remember Hypnotic? Do you remember that? Like,
ooh,
blue?
Spelled with a Q at the end?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Very sexy. It's a very sexy, sexy thing.
Oh my gosh.
If I see Hypnotic, because when I was like 15, I think I drank like half a bottle of Hypnotic because it was like, you know, when everyone's desperate for alcohol. And when I remember like my friends and I would drink like triple sec at a point of our lives because we were just like, it's alcohol, right? You know? And now like if I even look at Hypnotic, I get nauseous. Just like I can taste it coming out of my nose from vomiting it. You know?
It's You're probably too young for this, but did you know about Zimas?
I did not know about Zimas and I love learning something new.
Oh my gosh. Zima was like this fad. It was kind of, I think it's like Hypnotic. It was just like an alcoholic beverage in a glass. It was like fizzy. It was kind of like it tastes like 7-Up with like, I don't even know what alcohol in it. And I remember going, my sister went to school in Boston, to college, and I was still in high school. And me and a cousin of me went up to like go visit her. And we got fake IDs from an older cousin who looked nothing like me. Like literally was just brown. That was about it. And like went to the sub club and like we thought we were so cool. I remember I was wearing like it was still like the late 80s. So I was wearing like an oversized cable knit sweater.
I to love a dance it. Club.
Or I love drinking it. A Zima at the bar. It was
and you got in. They let you in.
High school. They let me and, listen. Oh, yeah, I had an ID with a brown person on it. They were like, yes, that's you.
I would just like to say that now all of the kids are wearing oversized cable knits to the club. That is
it's all
the style. It is. Okay.
I'd like to think I was
style,
a trend sweater.
Well, I want to know what your style was like in high school.
So I went to a prep school, so we had to wear, by the way, like this is what I chose to wear today. So some habits die hard, I guess. I wore a lot of like collared shirts and I think we weren't allowed to wear jeans as far as I remember. I think we might've had like Friday jean day every now and then or something like that. But so high school was a lot about like pleated khakis.
Yes.
I remember Z Cavaricci's were like a really big deal. You probably don't know that either. Like Z Cavaricci's were like, I don't even know how to describe them, but I feel like they might've had a slight hippiness to them. Like there was like a little bit of a hip flare, but again, pleated as far as I can remember. And I think I mean, I did have, I feel like I have some pictures that have like a little bit of a feather thing going in my hair. I had braces and glasses and I had acne too as like a kid. Like I remember just like being like, I got the trifecta of coolness thrust upon me.
Yeah. but now look at you. You're gorgeous.
But now it's all worked out.
Did you have to do Accutane?
I did. I took I don't think it was Accutane, but I took like an antibiotic that must, it's like, it might've just been like doxycycline or something like that, but like something that was like that. I took antibiotics for it. And then like, even in college and like, I remember in grad school, I've had like, this is not a commercial, by the way, I'm just telling you products. I use Proactiv. I remember like, it was like a constant sort of battle against the explosion. I'm painting such a horrible picture. I was actually like a sweet, cute kid, I think.
You sound amazing. you're like, I had this exploding face. I had my barracuda mouth.
I haven't had to work on any self-esteem issues since then.
No, none, babe. Absolutely. By the way, I take doxycycline right now.
Because, oh, you do?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because I was the opposite. In high school, I had like perfect, crystal clear, gorgeous skin, perfect vision, okay? Perfect teeth. Now I have fucking corn niblets' teeth. I can't see shit. And I got rosacea acne when I moved here, like when I moved to LA, I got rosacea acne.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, you know what? God really doesn't let you have it all.
There's a balance. You look amazing. You're not as big on my screen as my face is, but you look amazing.
You know, it's all about balance. You are correct.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you to Angie for sponsoring this HeadGum podcast. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well.
Indeed. So if you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need.
Yeah, doing stuff yourself seems fun, but then you actually get to, you know, solving a problem and you realize that mm-hmm. you can create 10 more problems, and then you probably should have just paid a professional to deal with it right off the bat.
You can easily injure and or maim yourself as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. You just get the app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. It's very convenient.
It sure is, folks, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
So download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com. Thank you, Angie.
Angie.com.
Thank you.
My last question before we visit the high school guidance counselor is, did you have a lover in high school? I know that you said you weren't out yet.
Yeah. I wasn't out, and I didn't like date in high school, but I think like, I feel like the story is probably not very unique to me, but I feel like I was sort of like the go-to guy for a lot of girls to ask to dances. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, we were all, and if anyone, you were listening to this, I hope you're not going to take offenses. It wasn't like, my friend circle was definitely not the cool clique. Mm-hmm. but there were like a fair amount of girls in it. And I feel like I did go to not only dances at my own school, but I'd get asked to dances at like other people's schools.
Yes.
And I will just say this, that like, it was so fun, but being like a closeted high school kid and getting asked by a girl to a dance is actually like a somewhat, for me, I remember having a lot of anxiety because it was like, even though I wasn't out, I definitely knew. And by the way, like I didn't know like a single openly gay person when I was in high school. So I didn't have a teacher, you know, what I remember is like hearing, and this might've been middle school or high school, I don't remember, but I remember like being carpooled to school and hearing a joke on the radio where the DJ was like, they should just take all those gay people and ship them off to an island. And the punchline was the other radio host being like, well, they've already done that. It's called Manhattan, you know, and I live in Brooklyn now, but I remember like internalizing all that stuff and not really even knowing if it like really applied to me, but right. somehow knowing that it also did apply to me and that it was something that I had to like hide and be shameful around. So I had so much fun at dances. By the way, I could dance like nobody's business. In fact, my best friend, the one I mentioned earlier, she was like a dancer, like took dance classes and did dance recitals, and we would like tear up the dance floor, but it was always the sort of like before and after of like the awkward, you know,
yeah.
like the mom wants to take a picture and it's like, oh, where do I put my hand around you? Or I'm going to hold your hand, or right. are we just friends? Or, you know, like, what is the expectation? And then at the end of the night, like, oh God, am I going to have to kiss you goodnight? And not even because it was like so abhorrent to me, like they were all friends, but it was just like the fear of, I think, being found out, like that if you kiss someone, they'd be like, wait a minute.
Right.
Or like not somehow like not knowing how to do that or something. So I didn't have a lover in high school.
I think that, like, I don't know. I think that unless you are a straight boy in high school who's, like, overly confident, I think sex and intimacy is, like, very overwhelming and stressful. But compound that with being, like, closeted in, you know, the late 80s and early 90s, I could imagine that was beyond stressful. That was like probably just thinking like, is something wrong with me? Are these people going to hate me? Like, what is going on? And being in Tampa,
which is so interesting because it does, I think, color the experience of like that time in my life, is that like there was always a sense of like not fully feeling like I fit in, you know what I mean? And so like, and so Tampa now I think has changed quite a bit, but for me there's always a little bit of a color of like, I mean, I think that when I was a kid, and I like, it might not even be the city of Tampa specific, but it was just like, I can't wait to get out of here, you know? I can't wait to like be able to go to, and not even like, I think not even knowing specifically why, but just sort of like a sense of like there's going to be another place to find myself. And for me, I think that was like the beginnings of that. By the way, I was still closeted in college, but like the beginnings of that was like going to a theater program and being with like theater kids. And like having that kind of safe haven of theater.
What was your favorite play that you did in high school?
What was my favorite play that I did in high school? I remember, so two things that come to mind. We did a production of Oklahoma, and I was not the best singer, and so they wrote a character for me called Cowboy Leek.
I love that. Wait, they wrote you a character? They took the
Which,
liberty.
Which, by the way, yeah, like now I'm like, I don't even know if they're allowed to do that. Like, there's probably some like licensing company out there that's like, they did what?
Cowboy Leek.
Yeah. And then I remember we did, and this is like when the school was kind of like trying to push the theater stuff a little bit, instead of Shakespeare in the Park, we did a thing called Moliere on the Mound, and I can't fully remember what play. I know. I appreciate.
Oh, that's really funny.
We did a Moliere play, and I'm sure none of us had any idea what we were actually saying, but it was a lot of fun, and we did it outdoors and it's
on
like
the mound.
On a mound. Our school had this big grassy mound in the center of it. It's where we all like hung out and ate lunch, and and so we built a stage out there and did Moliere on the Mound.
I love that. Oh my God, is that a knock at the door that I hear? Why, yes, it is. We are in the high school guidance counselor's office. Welcome to my office. I am the high school guidance counselor. In this section of the show, you get to rectify a wrongdoing of your high school past. You can either say fuck you to someone, you can apologize to someone, you can yield this time however it's going to soothe your soul so that you never need to think about your high school trauma after this point. So,
this is so funny because I high school was tough, you know, I mean, there were so many amazing things about it. I will say this, counselor, you know, like my friends were like such a lifeline in high school. My friend, Nicole, we thought we were so funny. You know, we thought we were the best dancers in the world. We thought we were hilarious. Like, I remember we would do the silliest things, like literally walk down a hallway and see a teacher and we'd both fake sneeze on cue, like at the same time, we'd be like, achoo! And like, we thought it was hilarious if the teacher was like, oh, bless you. Like that, like the idea that we would both sneeze at the same time, we're like, ah, hilarious. You know, like so ridiculous. I remember once in chemistry class, I think it was, we were like, while the teacher was writing on the board, we were like, we're going to turn our desks around. And all the other kids were like, you guys are such idiots. And we like turned our desks around and I'm sure our chemistry teacher was like, what are you doing? But to us, it was the funniest thing like had ever been done in a high school classroom.
I love that.
Like high school, there were so many great parts about it, but there were not so great parts too. You know, I certainly got called names. There were definitely, I think, kids who were on to the fact that I was probably gay before. I mean, I am gay now, but that at the time that, you know, that it hadn't been confirmed that I was probably gay and I didn't know. I remember a kid once called me a flamer, like literally turned around in class and was like, you're such a flamer. And I didn't know what it meant.
Right.
So I said, thank you.
But that's the best response. That's like what, you know, my mom would always be like, kill him with kindness. And that's like the best response.
Totally. But if I had to rectify one situation, I remember we had to do these standard physical tests, like in gym, where it'd be like the entire PE class would be like, we're going to do as many sit-ups as you can in like 2 minutes. And then we're going to run as many laps as you can around the football field. And I don't know if it was like a Florida State thing or if they were just like torturing us. Mm-hmm. But I remember one of the things was climb a rope. We would have like literally have a rope hanging from like the top of the bleachers down to the bottom or off of something. Like I don't even, and you'd have to climb it. There was always, I don't even remember, like I wish I could like call out one person, but you would just watch these kids like scramble up this rope. And knowing that I was going to like hold on to the bottom and be like, and like get maybe like one climb up, and like just the sheer torture of the waiting to be ridiculed, like while there were all the other kids who went there. And I would say, guidance counselor,
yes,
that I would just want to say to all those kids, how did climbing that rope really help you?
Yeah.
Where are you now because you climbed a rope in PE class?
The rope is cruel and unusual punishment. I don't think they make kids do it anymore, but I remember I used to do everything in my power to get out of climbing that rope.
You had to do it too.
Oh, yeah. My sister famously had to climb the rope in middle school when breakaway pants were really popular. And her bully ripped her breakaway pants off of her while she was dangling on the rope. And my sister was wearing day of the week underwear. And I think it was a Tuesday, but she was wearing Thursday. So she was really, then she was worried that all the kids were thinking she was wearing the same underwear from Thursday on Tuesday. And let's just say the rope is a tool used to humiliate. If you can climb the rope, I guarantee you we are not friends now. None of my friends could climb the rope.
None. By the way, now I actually think like now as we're talking about some like the vengeance piece of this, like I feel like if you go to a fancy gym, I'm in New York, but if you go to a fancy gym in LA or New York now, it's like all the gays are like
climbing the rope
with the ropes. Yeah, they're like, watch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they're like, watch me speed with these battle ropes, and then watch me climb up this fucking rope right here. It's true. Tebby, do we have a classmates corner? This is when our listeners write in what they want to talk to us as their collective guidance counselor about.
We do.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
What is this week's?
Great. So today, Nora writes in, I want to give a big fuck you to three girls I did high school theater with, Gab and her two friends.
Whoa, we're naming names. Okay.
I didn't name the other two. I redacted the other two. Senior year after school one day, I was sitting at Starbucks reading Wuthering Heights because I couldn't get through two pages at home without falling asleep. I was sitting alone and facing away from the rest of the tables, and these three, one of whom was a closer friend of mine, came in, sat right behind me, and proceeded to talk so much shit about me for what felt like 30 minutes, which in reality was probably 10. They were talking about how I thought I was better than everyone, I stole one of their boyfriends, which I didn't deserve the part I had in the show, etc., etc., while they were no more than 4 feet away from me. I waited until they moved on to another topic, then packed up my stuff, walked past them, and said, "Hey, Gab," with a big smile. While the looks on their faces at the time were satisfying, we acted like it never happened after that, and I never got to tell the three of them to fuck right off. Love you, Greta. Nora.
Okay.
Interesting. By the way, that took so many twists and turns, because I think number one, that she was like calling out the theater kids.
Yes.
I was like, wow. Number two, when she first said she was reading Wuthering Heights, my first thing was like, oh, she was a good girl. And then she was like, because I was fall asleep at home. So I had to read it at school. yeah.
It's yeah, no good when you hear people talking shit about you. They're just jealous. They were just jealous.
No. They had to have been, because she had the better part in the school musical. Musical, did she say? Or did she say play? School, whatever.
Play.
Musical, but you know
play.
What?
When, school play.
When you get the better part, like, the dolls do get jealous is what happens. And especially in high school theater, it's competitive. It's a small circle. I mean, it's technically a theater company, if you will. It's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Gab and her friends. I wonder if she's friends with them still, like friends with them on Facebook, because sometimes I can tell you a lot about where people ended up.
Yeah, maybe look them up and just know that, like, look them up and remind yourself you got that part in the play.
That's right. Yeah,
Gab
you
and
got
her
to
friend.
Page three of Wuthering Heights.
Exactly, and you never fucking finished that book, and that's okay.
Was it Nora? Is that her name?
Yeah.
That was like so well written too. Cause like I feel like I had like the exact picture of her sitting out there with her book.
Me too.
Her massive book, just hearing those kids talk about her. But she got to walk away and go on stage that night is the better part in the school
exactly.
play.
Exactly.
So she's already winning.
Exactly. Thank you so much for writing in. If anybody else wants to write into us, please email us at seniorsuperlativespod@gmail.com. I love hearing from you all, and I love when you all get really petty. It brings me so much joy, and it makes me feel right at home. So I would just also like to say, fuck you to Gab and her friends. If you could go back in time and give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
Oh, man. I mean, I think like I still kind of struggle with this, but perfectionism was a big thing, which I know we talked about a little bit earlier. But I think I'd probably just be like, relax a little, you know, like, yeah, like you don't have anything to prove.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, like, to Nora's story, like I feel like I overheard kids talking about saying like weird things about me too, or you like, you know, there's that sense of like, so-and-so's having a party, shh, 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 we don't want to invite everybody, you know, like as you walk by, like that kind of stuff. Like I feel like I would just tell myself like to like, don't sweat it, because it's like in the end, you're not going to really probably want to be. This sounds so horrible. I feel like I'm sounding so vindictive. I actually really did. There's a lot of people I'm still in touch with from high school who I really, really, really like. But it's like you're going to get to choose your friends later in life, and you get to choose what you want to do. And you're not going to have to climb the ropes. You're not going to have to like want to go to some party that you don't really want to go to anyway. So like,
I think
don't worry about it.
I think high school, the reason why I'm obsessed with talking about it on this podcast is it's like, it's such a loaded time for everyone. It's like, you're fully kind of becoming sentient, if you will. Like, you feel much older than you actually are. You also feel the pressure of needing to figure out who you want to be in the world. And you're kind of stuck in this pocket of people that you didn't choose to put yourself in. Like, your parents did. Your parents, for all of our parents, for whatever reasons, lived in the places they lived, sent us to the schools they sent us to, and then there we are, and that becomes your reality. So I think it's when you look back on it, it is kind of this feeling, of course you're not vindictive, but you're like, well, these fuckers would never be my friends. And that was annoying they did that. And I didn't want to be here, but I had to deal with them talking about a party they weren't inviting me to. And it's like, we all had those experiences to some degree. And it's hard. Like, high school is a hard time.
Yeah. I think what you said sounds like such a good encapsulation of the why high school is so challenging, because it is true that I think for most people, it's like, as soon as you get to go away to college, if you do that, it's like, you know, maybe you're going to get roomed with someone, but eventually you're probably going to like pick your roommate.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, like find your people and find the thing that you want to study. You're not going to have to climb ropes for as a requirement. You're going to get to like, you know, you get to like really begin to actually be yourself, which is really cool. You know, it's like writing novels for middle schoolers. I really think about the idea that middle school is so much about self-discovery. And I feel like high school is also then becomes about fronting a little bit. It's about like, I'm beginning to know parts of myself in the middle school years. And in high school, it's like, but I got to like pretend to be. And I think like, just hearing you say that, like college is like the place where you start to be like, and now I can start stepping into like that person I actually want to be. Cause like, I can stop fronting a little bit, which is so nice.
Yeah, I mean, I actually do think that I was my more authentic self in middle school than I was in high school, because almost in middle school, by the time you get in eighth grade, you become like the elder, but then you need to go, you get knocked down again when you get into the high school structure to being a freshman. So it's like you rose and then you get your feet cut from under you to be like a little fucking bitch again to all of the people that are older than you. And then, you do need to put up a front of whatever the gorgeous person was that you were blooming into when you were like 13 or 14. And then you get to high school and they're like, oh, well, that's not good at all. And then you're like,
right.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
That's right.
Finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think that's the thing too, is like with middle schoolers, especially like I get to visit middle schools a lot and talk to like middle school kids about the books and stuff. And they I think like there's a sense of like, you're right about that authentic self. Like, they're kind of like more, from my experience, they're kind of like more willing to step into that.
Yeah.
And then when you get into high school, it's like, well, there are parts of myself I have to hide because they're not cool. And there are parts of myself I'm going to pretend to be that are cooler. And then you could do like, it's a little bit of a journey to come back to all those discoveries, you know, you made when you were even younger, which is kind of a beautiful thing. I went to prom in the same way that I went to like so many other school dances, like at the invitation of like other people. I might have had the guts to like ask someone at some point, but I did. Yes, I did go to prom.
What did you wear? This is an iconic question on the show.
100% a rented black tuxedo with a matching cummerbund to the exact color of whatever dress my prom date was wearing. I think there was a purple one, a pink one, and probably a teal, blue one.
I don't actually
remember how they used to do that. How did they do that?
I don't know, but it did feel like a miracle. Like, I feel like whoever owns the tuxedo rental companies went to like Cachet or Charlotte Russe or wherever the girls were buying their dresses, and they were like, let's collab, we're gonna pick out the colors of the season, I'll make sure to have the cummerbund and the bow tie and whatever, you make sure to do the tulle on the dress, and we'll choose canary yellow, fucking teal, maroon, like some midnight blue, like an onyx, you know, slate gray, like whatever.
Oh my gosh, it always matched almost perfectly. Like they were made together. Like it was like for every dress we made that could be worn to a prom, we will also make a matching cummerbund.
Yes, 100%. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to look for a picture of me at prom and send that to you just so you can see the cummerbund and bow tie set that I wore.
Please do. And our last question of the pod, if you can believe we're already at the end and I'm having such a fabulous time, is did you have a senior superlative?
Yeah, this is like, you're the best at this, you're the most likely to this,
and it's okay if you didn't. A lot of people come on the show and don't have them.
Yeah. I don't, you know what's funny? I was like digging around for my high school yearbooks and they're not at my place in New York, sadly. I was trying to think if like I got voted something. I don't think I have one. I don't think I had, I don't know if I had one.
Do you think that the people in your high school like are at all surprised by your success now in your professional career?
I mean, I think that like, I don't know for sure, because what's like interesting is that like I was like the theater kid. Everyone knew that I wanted to apply to drama school. Like we also had Florida State thespian competitions that I would participate in. I remember famously one year I won and then they took it away from me because my drama teacher mentor, Kathy Grau, had written my monologue for me. Like we'd written this comedic monologue together and they're like, you can't write your, like talk about suppressing creativity, which is happening a lot in Florida now, but like literally they were like, you're not allowed to write your own material. And I was like, oh, well, okay. Let's kill a kid's chance of winning the Florida State thespian competition. But so I think that like,
that's so dumb to me because it's like all of this, everything ever written was an original work.
There you go.
So how does this not makes sense? It's so stupid.
Yeah I know. And also, like, I feel like the weird reasoning was something like, you know, it has to be like a playwright that any of the kids could have chosen a monologue from, but it's like, no, we're not all doing that. That wasn't like thespian competitions weren't like everyone does the same monologue and we decide who does it the best, which I feel like would be so horrible. It wasn't that. It was like you picked a monologue and did it, and they like, by the way, like all the best stuff. But I feel like kids knew, like everyone kind of knew that. And it was like such a part of my identity. I was like also like just really good at school, like academics. And so I feel like probably if I looked back, people probably would have been like, he's going to do something that he's be successful at. I don't know if they would have been like, oh, he'll get to like be a comedic actor.
I don't know
that was like totally the way people saw me, but I'm not 100% sure. And the ones that I'm really in touch with, I feel like they've just been along for the ride for so long that like
well, we are going to say that you were probably voted most likely to be insanely handsome post Barracuda Mouth and then go on to being a superstar. That's what we're going to say is most likely to happen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love that's way better than my recollection of my high school yearbook was mostly like it's senior year. Suddenly it went from like, see you next year to, or like, have a great summer to like, see ya.
like bye, question mark. Like, nice to know you, exclamation point.
Exactly.
Thank you so, so much for joining me today on my show. I had the best time talking with you. Can you just reiterate to all of my gorgeous listeners about your exciting scripted podcast? I can't talk.
Yes. Thank you. First of all, thank you for having me on. I love your podcast. You're hilarious. And it was so much fun getting to do this and like a real pleasure to go back to 1991 in a way that I sort of hadn't necessarily like thought about. Like, I guess I was like, what's this going to be like? And it was really, really, really fun, as are all of your episodes. And thank you for the shout out for the Peepkins. It's called the Peepkins.
Yes.
It is everywhere you listen to podcasts. It's Anna Faris and myself and Diedrich Bader and a just like an amazing cast. It's beautiful writing. You know, one of the things we've talked a lot about, and I'm sure that you talk about this with people in the podcast world too, is that like, it's an opportunity to get away from your screens, especially if you're listening to it with a kid, to say like, hey, we're gonna do something fun together, and not, that's not gonna be tied to like a TV or a phone or an iPad or whatever you're using to watch things on. So, yeah, hopefully people will check it out. It's really sweet and I'm really proud of it. And it was a lot of fun to make.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you to everyone who listened to my show, my sweet little classmates. As always, give me 5 stars. I only like positive reviews, only want positive reviews, and frankly, only deserve positive reviews. And you know, as I say every week, stay cool, never change. Until next time, ciao.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.